Welcome to the Faith Lighthouse Church Message of the Week. We hope that you enjoy this teaching. For more information about this message and other resources, visit mylighthouse.church.
All right, well, today we are continuing our summer series called Life Preservers. The whole idea and the premise of this series is looking through God's Word, looking at the Bible, the promises of God, that God has given us promises in His Word that we can hold on to. And life can be challenging, and life is full of difficulties, and life is full of many adversities. But yet, how do we deal with those? How do we deal with life's challenges and struggles when we feel like we're drowning, when there's too much going on? How do we deal with those? Well, God has given us promises. He's given us life preservers to hold on to, that we feel like we're sinking, that we've got something to hold on to keep our head above water. No matter what, we know we can trust God. When God makes a promise, we know we can trust Him. Well, why do we know that? Because His character, His nature, who He has proven Himself to be, we can trust Him that when He says something, He's going to come through. There are universal promises that God has given all humanity, that we can hold on to those things, and there is nothing that we can do to take those promises away, that there is nothing on our end that will take those promises away. But there are conditional promises that God will give a promise to us, and we know He will fulfill His part, but there is something that we have to do. There's a fulfillment level that we must do. And so there are conditional promises. And so we've taken a look at the different types of promises that God has given to us. First, we looked at fear. Fear is one of those things that we can all drown in from time to time. Fear can cripple us, that we can be overcome with fear, facing our adversities, that there's a conversation that you really don't want to have, because you don't know how that person is going to respond to that conversation. And so you have this fear of the unknown. How are they going to respond to me talking to them? How is my spouse going to respond to this? That we have fear that can cripple us. But looking through God's Word, we understand that fear is not from God, that the spirit of fear is not from God. God gives us power, love, and a sound mind. That's a promise that we can hold on to. So anytime we're facing fear, we know that God will be there with us, that He is not giving us that spirit of fear. Last week, we talked about guilt. Guilt is something that can cripple us as well. That we are so guilty because of our sin, we're so guilty because of our past mistakes, that we never move forward into the future that God has for us. Now, guilt can be a good thing. Guilt keeps the world running around. That there are good types of guilt. There are good types of guilt to keep us from doing bad things, from doing wrong things. However, there is guilt that is not good for us. If we're constantly carrying guilt because of our past mistakes, that is not where God wants us to be. We looked at the example that Jesus did. He never let people feel and stay in their state of guilt. That He turned, He showed them, obviously, yes, you have sinned, but turn from that sin. That He didn't guilt them into more and guilt them into shame. That Jesus died on the cross so that we don't have to live in guilt and in shame. That's a promise that we can hold on to walk into the promise of the future that God has given to us. Life is hard. That's a perfect place to say amen. Just want to make sure everybody's alive, everybody's well. All right, I'll make a note on that one, okay. Life is hard. But we have a God that is here to help us through the challenges and the adversities of life. When we feel like God is nowhere around, we know that He is with us to help us through the adversities. You know, our feelings can tell us things are simply not true. Our feelings can tell us things that are not reality. Our feelings can tell us things that are just simply untrue. You may have an interaction with a person, And they just come off distant or cold, and you think and you feel that they're mad at you. They're upset with me. What's going on? And you spend all day processing every conversation you have had with them because you feel like they are upset with you. When in reality, the person that you had that conversation with, they've got 15 million things going on. You have done nothing to harm them. You've said nothing, but yet they felt distance because they've got a lot going on. It's nothing that you did, but you feel guilty. You feel upset that I did something wrong. Our feelings can get us into trouble. You have a conversation with that person, like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I thought you were upset with me. I thought you were mad at me. What? Remember that conversation we had last week? Barely. And it's just because I had so much going on. It's not that I don't care. It's just I had a lot going on. Oh, my gosh. And you all week long, you felt that they were upset with you. Wasted time, wasted energy. Our feelings can tell us things that are simply not true. Just because we may feel a certain way does not mean it's the truth. The truth is found in God's word. And that is what we need to base our lives on. Not what we feel, but what God's word says. But no matter how much we know about God, how much we know about God's word, we all fight the same battles. And one of the battles we all fight is discouragement. I posted yesterday on Facebook that, you know, have you ever felt discouraged? Absolutely. Universally, every single person in this room, I'm not going to guilt you into raising your hands like I did last week. And if you're here last week, you know what I'm talking about. And if you weren't, well, why aren't we here? Now it just made me feel guilty. We've all been discouraged. We've all been discouraged. We've all had times in our lives that we've been discouraged. But what does it mean to be discouraged? What does it mean? We know what it feels like, but the dictionary definition of discouragement is defined as this: a loss of confidence or enthusiasm. A loss of confidence or enthusiasm. That's the dictionary definition of discouragement. And I saw this play out this week with my own two eyes. My son Isaac is 9 years old. And for the past 2 years, he has begged Rebecca and I to play tackle football. He's just wanted to play. Now, one of the reasons why he loves football so much is because dad loves football. I love watching football. Football season is just a couple weeks away. Praise God, it's almost here. Just got to get through July, and then football season is here. The reason why I love football so much is because my dad loved football, and I watched it with him, even through the terrible years of the Buccaneers, and that seems like every year now. But still, I remember, I would go to school, man, I would be sporting my Buccaneers shirt, and everybody would make fun of me. Oh, you like the Bucs? Like, what? That's my team. Love them, win or lose, they're my team. And so now Isaac, he's the same thing. He loves football, he loves the Bucs, all of that stuff. And so the past couple years, he's wanted to play tackle football. We said, no, not yet. We want you to get the fundamentals down. Why don't you play flag football? So for the past two seasons, he's played flag football. He's learned. He's done a lot of things. But this year, he had a friend in one of his classes, and he played football. He played tackle football. And all during the football season, all I heard was, Dad, I want to play football. Dad, I want to play football. I'm like, I know, next season. All right, next season. Well, next season is now here. So we had a decision. Do we follow through with our promise and let him play, or try to push it off a year? Well, we talked and decided we're going to let him play, so we signed him up for football, to play football this season. Now, his excitement level was about a 10. I mean, he was ready to go. He's ready to get on that helmet, get on his pads, and, man, I'm going to score touchdowns. I'm going to all this. Okay, excitement level a 10. So we go and we sign him up. The first night that we get there, we signed up late. I didn't realize the registration date, so I missed the early registration. But we got him signed up, and so the first night we go out there, we're just watching the team practice. And he's out there watching, and he couldn't do anything yet. He wasn't ready. So we just stood out there for about 15, 20 minutes and watched. And he's like, all right, tomorrow it's going to be awesome. I'm going to get out there. I'm going to practice, and it's going to be great. So we go out the next night, and he goes out on the field. He's got his helmet on, and he's ready to go. Well, as parents, you know, and if you've ever played football or played any sports, you know before you actually start playing, what do you have to do? You've got to practice, and you've got to get your body conditioned. Well, he goes from thinking, all right, I'm going to go out there, I'm scoring touchdowns, to now they're doing suicide drills. Now they're running laps. Now they're doing push-ups. They're doing sit-ups. And he's got this helmet on that weighs like 500 pounds. And I see him look over to me about 20 minutes into practice. We live in Florida. It's 7 o'clock at night, but it's still 5 million degrees outside. And I see him turn over to me. His face is beet red. I can barely see him through the grill of the face mask. And he's looking at me like, Dad, save me. I just smiled. There are joys of being a parent. Those days and those mornings where they just get on your everlasting nerve. Hey, how you doing? So practice is over. He gets into the car. And his excitement, he was, before practice started, he was a 10. And now his excitement level is at about a 0. You want to talk about a child that was discouraged? That was my son this week, having to do conditioning drills. Discouragement can happen at so many different times and many places in our lives. Discouragement can come from different things. He was excited. He had a level of enthusiasm that was through the roof, but now he was discouraged. This was a whole lot harder than he thought it was going to be. You see, sometimes we don't realize in life that discouragement is going to come at different places. And we're going to take a look at a prophet in the Bible who was discouraged today. You know, many times we think of prophets, we think of men and women of God that are just, you know, full of fire for God, and they go and they speak his word, but we're going to take a look at a prophet who is discouraged, who is discouraged by the things that God is asking him to do. We're going to take a look at Jeremiah. So if you have in your Bibles, you can turn to Jeremiah chapter 20. If you don't have your Bible, we'll have it up on the screen in just a moment. But Jeremiah chapter 20. Now, let me give you a little preference to this. In the preceding chapter leading up to this, God has given a word for Jeremiah to speak to the people. Now, this word was challenging the people to turn from their ways, that they were a rebellious people. And God had given him a challenging word to speak to the people. But they didn't listen to him. As a matter of fact, Jeremiah finds himself arrested, beaten, and put in the stocks for doing what God told him to do, for speaking the word to the people. And so we pick up Jeremiah chapter 20, starting at verse 7. O Lord, you deceived me, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But if I say I will not mention him or speak any more of his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. I hear many whispering, terror on every side. Report him. Let's report him. All my friends are waiting for me to slip, saying perhaps he will be deceived. Then we will prevail over him and take revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. So my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fall and they will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord Almighty, you who examine the righteous and probe the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance upon them. For to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. Cursed be the day I was born. May the day my mother bore me not be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought my father the news, who made him very glad, saying, a child is born to you, a son. May that man be like the towns the Lord overthrew without pity. May he hear wailing in the morning, a battle cry at noon, for he did not kill me in the womb with my mother as my grave, her womb enlarged forever. Why did I ever come out of the womb to see trouble and sorrow and end my days in shame? Are you encouraged today? Jeremiah was discouraged. To say the least, Jeremiah was discouraged. And honestly, discouragement is a part of life. We're all going to face discouragement. You see, discouragement often comes when you do all the right things, but the results are not what you expected. Discouragement comes when I did everything right. God, I did what you called me to do. I followed step by step by step. I did everything right. Why is my life falling apart? I listened to you. I obeyed you. And now everything is falling apart. This is not how it was supposed to go. You work hard, but you feel like you're not making any progress. You give and you give and you give, and you try to be the best employee that you possibly can be. You come in early. You stay late. You give above and beyond, and you never get recognized for it, and you never get a raise. Talk about discouragement. You spend time with your child and you give and you give and you give and you try to be the best parent you possibly can be. You show them what it means to be a godly parent. Yes, you're flawed. You have mistakes, but you try your best, and yet they still live in rebellion. God, what is going on? Talk about discouragement. You give all you can to your spouse. You try to change your ways. You go out of your way to try and meet their needs, but it has no effect on your marriage. Talk about discouragement. You watch every penny. You save. You work extra jobs. You don't live a luxurious lifestyle, and yet you still find yourself financially in the same place every month. Talk about being discouraged. We have all faced discouragement, and sometimes it gets the best of us. It can even make us question our faith. It can even make us question God. That was Jeremiah. Shaking his fist at God. What is going on? God, you called me to speak to this rebellious people. You're the one that gave me this word. And now here I am, arrested, beaten, and locked up in stocks for doing exactly what you told me to do. What is wrong with this picture? He was obedient. He did everything right. But yet he finds himself in a place of discouragement, wondering what is going on, fallen into deep despair, all for doing God's will. You see, in our discouragement, we can find a life preserver to hold on to. In our discouragement, even doing everything right, God still has his word and our promises given to us that we can hold on to. You see, we don't have to live in discouragement. We don't have to stay there. We can rise above our own feelings. And out of Jeremiah's complaint, there are a couple things that I want to pick up. A couple things that I want to bring to light. Because obviously Jeremiah was discouraged. But even through his discouragement, we can find glimmers of hope. And the first thing that I want to do to encourage us today, if you have found your place in the discouragement, that you're doing everything right, or even if you haven't done everything right, but you've made mistakes, but you still find yourself discouraged, how are some ways that we can rise above our feelings of discouragement, that we can rise through these thoughts and feelings that we have? One thing that I notice in Jeremiah right off the top is Jeremiah was honest. That we need to be honest. We need to be honest with God. Go back to verse 7. Oh Lord, you deceived me, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Now, don't you want to talk about somebody having an honest conversation with God? Right here. Jeremiah is being honest with God. Don't think that you cannot be honest with God. You can be honest with him. The one of the words that stands out is when Jeremiah says that you deceived me. That Jeremiah is saying, God, you lied, you tricked me. God, you tricked me into doing this, that you deceived me, and I was deceived. Now, that word deceived means to be enticed or be seduced. Now, we know God and his character and his nature, he will never entice, he will never lie, he will never deceive anybody, but Jeremiah felt it. And he was being honest with God. God, I feel like you've lied to me. Imagine how you would have felt. God, I did what you called me to do. I spoke the word that you called me to speak, and yet here I am, beaten, locked up in stocks, and everybody is mocking me. You lied to me. You tricked me. You see, we can talk to God and have an honest conversation to him. But something I want to point out here is Jeremiah was not doing this in front of everybody. Jeremiah didn't get up in front of the whole assembly, all the people, and have this conversation with God. He did this in a private moment between him and God. That we need to take those private moments between us and God and just be honest with him. That if we are facing times of discouragement, if we feel like, God, that even if you feel that God has deceived you, tell him that. Be honest with him. Be honest with your feelings. I can never be that honest with God. Why not? He knows us inside and out, backwards and forward. The Bible says he knows every hair in our head. Don't you think he knows our innermost thoughts? We can be honest. That doesn't mean we are disrespectful to God, but we can be honest. We can tell him when we're upset. We can tell him when we are angry. That opens up the question, is it okay to be angry with God? Is it okay to be angry with God? First, we need to remember that anger is an emotion. Anger is an emotion, and emotions are neither right or wrong. They're neutral. It's what we do with those emotions that matters. How we act on those emotions matter. Now, if you are angry and you act out in angry and you say things that you shouldn't say, now that anger has turned into sin. If you are angry at somebody and you punch them in the face, all right, that's probably not right. You have acted out on that anger. It is okay to be angry, but what are you doing with that anger? Are you acting out on it? See, God is big enough. God is big enough for you to say, God, I'm angry. And I'm angry at you. I don't understand what's going on. Now, there are people in your life you can't have an honest conversation with. There are people in your life that you cannot be honest with them, because if you're brutally honest with them, that will send them into the deep, dark despair of their soul. And you know that. You know how to talk to people, and there are certain people that you can be honest with. There are certain people, well, it's going to take a little bit more tact. I'm going to have to use my words. I'm going to have to phrase them differently. God is okay with us being who we are. He can handle it. God is big enough for us to have an honest conversation with him. Ultimately, he wants us to pour out our heart to him. You see, when we pour out our emotions to God, what are we doing? We are freeing it from inside of us and giving it to God and saying, God, I'm giving this all to you, rather than keeping it all bottled up inside. Because what happens when you bottle all your emotions and feelings? What inevitably is going to happen? Boom, it's going to explode. And then things are really going to get bad. God wants us to be honest with him. He wants us to share our emotions and our feelings. Because when we keep everything bottled up, the only person that's harming is ourselves. When you keep your emotions and everything bottled up, and God, I can't be honest with you, you're only damaging yourself. You're not going to hurt God. You're damaging yourself. God can handle you being brutally honest with him. Jeremiah was. Jeremiah didn't cross any lines. The prophet of God was saying, God, I feel like you deceived me. I feel like you've lied to me. At the end of the day, God knows us inside and out, so we need to be honest with him. If you are feeling discouraged, God, I've done everything right, and you are feeling those, and you've had those feelings bottled up, just talk to him. Have an honest conversation with him, and you may find the freedom that you're looking for. That may be more freeing than it, just getting it off my chest. I can't tell you the number of people that I've counseled with that they just need somebody to talk to. They just need to get it. How many of you have done that? That you just got all bottled up, but when you say it out loud, you go, man, I just feel so much better. I know the situation hasn't changed that much, but I just feel better getting it off my chest. How about we have that conversation with God? If you feel discouraged, be honest with God. When we fail to be honest with God, we are only deceiving ourselves. When you're frustrated with God, be honest with him. Jeremiah was honest. Number two, we can know that God is with us. We can know that God is with you, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through. Jeremiah was upset. He was angry. But ultimately, through his lament, he realized God was with him. Look at verse 11. But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. Isn't it amazing that Jeremiah is just like us? That we can go from, you know, I'm angry, God, I don't understand, to God, you're amazing, you're like a mighty warrior, but I don't understand. We've all been there. We've all done that. And isn't it so freeing to know that prophets of God go through the same stuff we do? That they're no different than us? But ultimately, through his frustration, through his anger, he realized that God was with him no matter what. Not only that God was with him, but he ultimately was on the winning side. He was on the winning team, because God is going to be with him like a mighty warrior. You see, it's normal for us to look inward when we're discouraged and look at our problems, our frustrations, our situation. But a better approach would be to look to God. As we sang about a few moments ago, that when we look to God, everything else just seems to fade away. And remind ourselves through our times of discouragement, God, you have not left me. You are still here with me. You are a mighty warrior, and you are on my side. Having the knowledge that God is ever present with us can help us accomplish amazing things despite our discouragement. It gives us courage, strength to look to God and go, God, you are with me. You are by my side. Even though I feel discouraged, I know that you are with me. Your word promises that you are with me. It doesn't feel like it, but I don't go by my feelings. I go by what I know, and I know you are with me. A.W. Tozer writes this: living in the glow of God's presence will enable you to fight despite discouragement. Let me repeat that. Living in the glow of God's presence will enable you to fight despite discouragement. Simply saying that we will face times of discouragement, but living in God's promise, living in the glow of God's presence will help us fight despite what we feel. Living in the presence of God gives us that strength and encouragement to overcome what we're feeling. That brings me to number three. How do we fight discouragement? We have to be worshipful. Jeremiah was discouraged. And again, we see him go back and forth, but look what happens in verse 13. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord. You see, praise is the one weapon that the enemy has no defense over. There is no defense mechanism that the enemy can fight, that our praise goes beyond anything that the enemy will try to come against us. And Jeremiah knew that. Jeremiah knew, despite his discouragement, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to praise him in the middle of feeling defeated. I'm going to praise God despite of what I feel. Praise is accepting from God all that comes our way, both good and the bad. Praise is accepting all that comes from God, all that comes our way, both the good and the bad. It's easy to praise God when life is good. It's easy to praise God when everything is wonderful. In fact, I submit to you, you better be praising God when everything is going well. Because it seems like we don't live in those times very often. When everybody's healthy, all your relationships are healthy, there's money in the bank, the kids aren't fighting, everything is good, you better be praising God. Man, this is a great season, I'm going to praise you, God. But praise is a way to accept and to praise God all the good that comes my way. But praise is also accepting that, you know what, bad things are going to come my way as well. But in spite of those bad times, despite those difficulties, I'm still going to praise God. How much more powerful will our praise be when we are praising God despite our current feelings of discouragement? You see, again, it should be normal for us to praise God when life is good. When everything's wonderful, it's easy to do that. But when we praise God, when you're living in discouragement, how much more powerful will your praise be that you are praising despite your current circumstances? How much more purposeful will your praise be when you praise despite your discouragement? No one would blame you if you said, I am so discouraged. My life is falling apart. I just feel like I can't praise God. There is nothing to be worshipful about. And I don't think anybody would say, well, you're just a terrible person. I think we would all understand that because we've all been there. But that's where we find the power to overcome our feelings and say, God, despite what I feel, I'm going to praise you. See, God dwells, inhabits, and resides in our praise. God's power and presence is near when we praise him. And so if you're feeling discouraged, I want to encourage you to praise him. When you are feeling like life is too much for you, praise him. That's all the more reason to praise him. In spite of what I feel, in spite of what I see, I know what your word says, and God, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to go into my car, I'm going to crank up the music, and I'm going to worship you. Because I know you inhabit, you dwell in my praise. Everything inside of me says, go into a deep hole of depression, turn off the lights, shut the windows. No, I am not going to do that. I'm not going to buy into that. I'm going to serve. I'm going to give God the worship that he deserves in spite of what I feel. There's a song inside of each of us. There's a song for us to sing. There's a time to praise God. You know, there was a song that we used to sing. You're probably familiar with this if you've been in church for any length of time. A song that we used to sing seemed almost at least once a month. The song is called The Anchor Holds. And the whole point of the song, if you've never heard the song, is that life is tough and the storm rages and that I'm a ship battered in the ocean and I'm rocked back and forth, but I am anchored to God and the anchor still holds in spite of the storm. The anchor still holds. That anchor being God, and the realization that I can praise God despite the storm that's going on because he is my anchor. He is the one that I hold on to. I can praise him despite the storm going on in my life. Such a vivid picture, but a great reminder for us that when I am discouraged, when I feel defeated, I can praise God. I don't feel like praising God, but I'm going to anyway. Discouragement can happen and will happen to all of us. But that's not how you have to live your life. You don't have to be dictated by how you feel. There's an old legend that goes like this. It says one day that the devil was having a yard sale. And he put all his tools out on display for people to come and inspect all the tools that he had. And by each one of the tools, there was a price. So people were coming, inspecting all the tools. And off to the side, there was one tool that had been very worn. You can tell it had been used a lot. But that price on that tool is much higher than all the other tools. And the person asked the devil, why is that one so much more expensive than all the other ones? And it's used more than all the other ones. Why does it cost so much? And the devil answered, because it's more useful to me than the others. I can pry open a person's heart with it. I can get close to them. I can get closer to their heart than I can with any of the other tools. Once inside, I can make them do whatever I choose. It's badly worn because I use it on almost everyone, since few people know it belongs to me. And that's a tool of discouragement. You see, the enemy uses discouragement to keep us from continuing what God has called us to do. I have seen in my time and years in ministry so many people that come to God and they have this passion and fire to serve God. That they realize their sinful past, and they realize that there's a God who loves them, and they come to salvation, and they're on fire for God, and they just want to go and save the world, and that is amazing. But what happens so many times, more times than I wish I even was aware of, and I know it happens more than what I have personally seen, is that they stop. Is that somewhere along the way between their salvation experience or when they come back to serving God to winning the world, they stop. Why? Why do they stop? Why don't they keep going on? Because they've been discouraged. Somebody has told them something that has discouraged them. They've tried to do something, and God, I thought this is what you called me to do, and it's not working. You called me to do this, and I did everything I could, and it's not working. So what do? Instead of keep going on and keep pushing and persevering, what do? They stop in their discouragement. And that's exactly where the enemy wants them to be. Because if we stop and we stay in our discouragement, that means we are not moving forward into the future God has called us to do. To be who God has called us to be. If you are in anywhere and you're serving God, do not stay in your discouragement. Go beyond what you feel. Go beyond what you see and go on what God's word says. See, Isaac was discouraged this week. He was really discouraged. And I knew it, walking from the practice field into the car, I knew that I was going to have to encourage him because I'm not going to allow him to quit. That's just the reality of it. He's not going to quit. Because I knew if I gave him the option in that moment, okay, Isaac, I'm going to give you the option. Do you want to immediately say I quit? Before I even finished my sentence, I knew exactly what his response would be. I'm not going to give him that option. So in the car ride home, he almost said it. Dad, I want. I said, no, don't say a word. Don't say a word. Just cool off. Drink your Gatorade. It's going to be okay. So he sat there. And I said, Isaac, I know you're discouraged right now. I know you had every hope and every plan of going out onto that field and you're going to score touchdowns and, man, you're going to knock people out. All those things. I said, but one thing that people fail to realize is to see all those NFL superstars and see all these football players and all these teams, any sport, anything like that, what you have to do to get to that point is you have to practice. And you have to practice hard. And it's not easy. And I know right now you want to quit. You're not going to quit. I said, I promise you, it's going to get easier. Right now, you're feeling very discouraged. And I know you want to give up. But I promise you, if you keep going on, you're going to get to that point. I said, think about how amazing it's going to be when you've gone through all of this hard work and your team plays your first game and you guys score your first touchdown. How awesome is that going to feel? He started to perk up a little bit. I said, imagine how good you're going to feel when you're playing on defense and there's a kid running down the field and it looks like he's going to score a touchdown and you reach out and you grab him and you tackle him, keep him from scoring the touchdown. How's that going to make you feel? Good. Said, that's the point. Right now, you want to quit. You want to give up, but that's not where you're going to stay. It's going to get better from here. And so today, you might be here discouraged. You may have had a level of encouragement. You might have been enthusiastic for serving God, or there might be whatever it may be, but you feel discouraged today. Don't let it keep you where you are. So many people quit and give up because discouragement just overwhelms them. And that's exactly where the devil wants you to be. Jeremiah, he didn't quit. He was honest with God. He had an honest conversation with God. But he knew that God was with him. And he realized that he was going to praise God despite of what he felt. And I want to encourage you today to keep on. Don't quit. Don't stop. You're here today so that obviously shows you're not ready to hang up the towel. There are too many people that should be in church today because they quit. They're sitting at home because they quit, and God is yearning for them to not live in that discouragement, to come back, be a part of what you once started. Don't allow the discouragement to overwhelm you. Don't give up. If you want to overcome discouragement, be honest with God and your feelings. Know that He is ever present with you and praise Him in spite of how you feel. You see, we can't be ruled by our feelings. We can't be ruled by our emotions. But we need to go by what God's word says, the promises, the life preservers that He has given to us. Just like in John 16:33, look what Jesus says. John 16:33 says, "I have said these things to you, that in me you have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." That's a promise to you and I. That's a promise for us to hold on to. That we are going, Jesus is telling us, you're going to have difficult times. You're going to feel discouraged. You're going to feel like giving up. But take heart, I have overcome the world. That's a promise for us to hold on to, not to give in to our discouragement, no matter how you may feel. And you may be here today and you feel discouraged. You may feel like, God, I have done everything right, but yet there are no results. Keep pushing on. Keep moving forward. It's God that has called you, not yourself, not man, but God. And if He has called you, He's going to see you through. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to allow the Holy Spirit to move in our hearts today. I want the Holy Spirit to speak to you, but maybe first, you need to be honest with God. Be honest with your feelings. I'm not going to have anybody stand up in front of everybody and say, this is how I feel, and I'm angry at God. But if you're here today and you say, God, I'm frustrated, I'm upset, I don't get it, then tell Him that. Be honest. Don't keep it bottled up inside. God, I thought things were going to work out differently. I'm discouraged. I'm upset. Don't keep those feelings bottled up. You're only hurting yourself. God is big enough to handle those. Whatever you may be feeling, just be honest. God, I'm discouraged because I keep messing up. I keep falling. I'm upset with myself. Be honest with Him. Tell Him that. But then know the next step, that God is with you. That despite of how you feel, despite of the discouragement that you may be living in today, that God is right here with you like a mighty warrior fighting by your side. That there is victory because we are on the winning team. We know how the story is going to play out. We know how the story goes. But sometimes it's hard to see that in the middle of the discouragement. But be reminded today that God is with you, that we have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us to give us the strength that we need. And then maybe today you just need to praise Him. Maybe you just need to praise Him this morning. Well, Pastor, we just sang a couple songs a few minutes ago. No. I don't mean just sing words. I mean praise Him today. Praise Him despite of how you feel. That you'll take that step today and say, God, I'm going to praise You because there's power in praise. And I know You inhabit my praise. And I will be strengthened and I will be encouraged because despite of what I feel or in spite of what I see, I know that you're a great, loving, caring God and that you are with me. And I'm going to praise you in spite of the storm because I know that you are my anchor. That's your promise to me. Holy Spirit, I ask you to move in our hearts, move in our lives. For anybody that is feeling discouraged today, may we be encouraged by your word, be encouraged by your presence, and praise you for who you are. Move, Holy Spirit, in this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the message of the week. If you've enjoyed this teaching, would you consider a gift to support the ministry of FLC? Visit mylighthouse.church/give. Faith Lighthouse Church is located at 3409 Paul Buckman Highway in Plant City, Florida. Our weekly worship services are held on Sundays at 11 a.m. We also have various life groups and programs for all ages that meet throughout the week. We'd love for you to be a part of what God is doing in Plant City.